You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Hey, MC3, my name is Sean. I'm the lead pastor here, and I'm not there today because there's a group of churches from Mifflin County that we've kind of put together a group called Hope Collective, and they've been doing things for a number of years in our community, serving, meeting needs, doing a lot of great stuff. And today, I am a part of a thing that we're calling the Pastor Exchange Program. No, I'm not going to be going to France or some other foreign country, but we're going to be exchanging pastors at different churches today to demonstrate just the unity we have in Jesus, that even as though we're different churches, different backgrounds, we still have unity found in Christ. And so today I'm going to be at Lewistown Alliance Church, and here today this morning is Pastor Neil Brenneman from Lewistown Alliance. Neil is actually, he's been there for about 7 years, actually celebrating 7 years in February for his anniversary there. But Neil and his wife Katie, we actually went to school with them. Kendra and Katie were in the same dorm section together also. And actually, interestingly enough, just a few weeks ago, I was looking at some old wedding photos, and there was Katie in the background going to catch the bouquet. At that time, she wasn't married, so maybe that's where Neil came along there. But Neil's going to be here, and he's going to be sharing, as I'm going to be sharing at his church, about unity. And so because of that, we're actually interrupting the Ruin Point series here in the worship experience. However, in Ignition, the kids are still going to continue with that series. And in Prime Groups this week, in Student Prime, you guys will have a chance with your discussion guide to continue the next part of the Book of Job. So make sure, if you're not already in a Prime Group, that you sign up for that out in the lobby today or online at mc3church.org/community. But that's what's happening today. And so I'm not going to waste any more of his time. So why don't you all please give it up for Pastor Neil. Take it away, Neil.
Well, good morning. I expected nothing less of creativity from Sean. And I will say this. I will not hold the Giants jersey against him. Go Eagles. We got some Eagles fans. All right, good. I've alienated probably more than half of you. And gain the favor of the rest of you. But hey, it is a privilege to be able to be here this morning. And as he already shared, there's a lot of great churches in this community. I know a lot of you know that. You know friends that go to other churches. And we have our differences. But there's also a lot of us here in this community, churches that have a lot of similarities. And that's just that we want to love Jesus. And we want to love our community. And we want our community to experience Jesus. And so we have this thing called Hope Collective, which is a collection of churches. It's not another denomination, nothing like that. It's just recognizing the unity that we have together. Now, I heard, I think it was Justin, you said earlier about, we don't know when we're going to end today. Well, what Sean told me was that I had an hour and a half. So you won't miss your lunch. It's all right. But honestly, not going to go that long. But hey, let me just say a little bit about myself and my family. My family is here with me today. I have a picture of them as well that we'll put on the screen. My wife, Katie, and I have been married for almost 21 and a half years. And we met at Lancaster Bible College, which is where Sean and Kendra were. And we've had three different ministry placements during the time that I've served as pastor. Actually, about a week and a half after graduation and from Lancaster Bible College, I began in Harrisburg at my first church and served a lot there. I was assistant pastor, but really was emphasis in youth ministry. Spent a lot of time with the youth there. Then I went to State College after 8 years in Harrisburg, and I was in State College for 7 years. And after those 7 years, we felt clearly God calling us here to Lewistown. And I've had people make comments to me from this area saying, wow, you must have really sensed the call of God on your life. And we did. But I'm here to tell you that we love this community. We love this area. We love the people of this area. And so it's been a privilege to be here for 7 years. My wife, Katie, I already told you about. My three children who are also here. My oldest, Luke, is a senior in high school. He's at Mifflin County High School. And he's starting to get senioritis setting in. He's ready to be done. Any other seniors here in the house? Yeah. All right. So he is planning to go to Liberty University for aviation and actually to be a part of the Air Force ROTC program there in Virginia. My next son, Logan, is he is in eighth grade at Mifflin County Junior High, and he is not 100% sure what he's going to do in his life yet, although he's thinking engineering. And then my daughter, Layla, is our adopted child from Thailand, and we feel so blessed that God has brought her into our life. She was a baby when we got her, a year and a half old, and she is in sixth grade at the middle school. Tough years, right? Sixth grade at Mifflin County Middle School. So that's them. That's my family. Just wanted to introduce them to you. As far as myself, like I said, I love this area. One of the reasons that I love this area so much is because I am an outdoors enthusiast. I love the outdoors. And so, wow, what a beautiful area that we live in. I know some of you, you've lived here all your lives, and so it may be easy for you to just take it for granted, but it's beautiful here. Tucked in the mountains, rural community, just so many great things. And so I feel right at home here, being able to stomp around in the woods and go on hikes and the river and all those things that we can enjoy. Well, I want to invite you to bow with me in prayer, and then we're going to dive into God's Word together this morning. Lord God, we come before you today as the church. Lord, individuals that have a desire to seek after you, that have a desire to follow you in our lives. And Lord, we, more than anything today, we just want to hear from you. And Lord, as the topic that we're going to look at today has so much to do with unity, and in so many ways has torn down unity, especially in recent years, Lord, we ask that through your word and through your spirit that you would work in each and every one of our hearts. That, Lord Jesus, you would help us to become more like you, to follow you and to seek you with all of our lives, in every area of our life. Not simply when we're here in church doing what we would call church, but as we live out our daily lives in our workplaces, in our schools, and all the different various places that we go throughout the week. And so, Lord, we are your servants. We listen for your voice at this time. And we just say, Lord, speak to us. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, I want to introduce to you one of the students of Mifflin County School District. And her name is Mia. Some of you may know Mia. Another little thing about me is I am one of the cross-country coaches at the high school. And Mia is one of my runners that runs for me. She was a freshman this past fall, cross-country season, one of the top runners, excellent runner. And I wanted to tell you a little bit of a story of a meet that we had, a cross-country meet that we had this past fall. It was an away meet, and so we had loaded into the bus. They got out of school early, which they love to do, and we headed down to Chambersburg for this away meet. And one of the things that I love to do as a cross-country coach is I like to be able to try to navigate the course as best as I can. And if you don't know much about cross-country, it's a 3.1-mile race. And it's done on various different types of courses, but it's usually grass or woods or it's off-road. It's not necessarily on the road, and it's not on a track. And so sometimes it's challenging to navigate courses. And Chambersburg, their course, is actually one of those courses. It's a challenging one to navigate, and it's actually a very challenging course to run because it has a lot of hills. And even those of you who are non-runners can appreciate the fact that hills are not very fun. They test you, they try you. And this one, not only was it hills, but pretty steep hills, and uphill and then downhill and in the woods with rocks and ruts and washouts and the whole deal. So this was like a true, what we would call cross-country course. And so I had kind of planned to be at various different places the best I can because I like to be able to find opportunities to challenge and to encourage our runners. Because quite frankly, even though they are well trained, sometimes in a race, they just want to quit because it's hard. It's really hard. Like there are, you know, we say this about cross country often. There are no timeouts. There is no like go sit on the bench and rest for a little bit. It is continuous the entire race. And so I found my spot on this course. It was actually right after one of the steepest inclines. And I positioned myself there because I knew that this would be an important place to be because after they had come up that really steep incline, they were going to feel like quitting. And so I wanted to be able to encourage them. And not only that, there was actually a downhill. And I wanted to be able to encourage them to like, hey, here's your chance. Right, here's where you can make up some time because now you're downhill and you can actually pick up your speed and continue to recover because it's going downhill. And so I was there and the kids are starting to come by Mia is coming and I see her coming and she's running with like a whole bunch of other girls really close, the opponent, Chambersburg team, and she's going past and I'm yelling and encouraging her and everything. And as she passes me, I'm like, Mia, this is your chance. Pass them. Pass them. And she immediately responds, which I wish I could say that about all of my runners. That's not always the case. But she immediately responds, and she starts to scoot past a couple girls, and there's this other girl right there in that pack, and she moves up and goes to pass her to the left, and as she starts to go to pass her to the left, I immediately see this going on from this other girl. Like throwing elbows and literally moving over to the point that Mia almost goes in, like would have had to run into the woods to try to pass her, which you can't do. And so she was not able to get past her. Well, within a few seconds, they were out of sight, and I'm running to my next spot to encourage them, which was another spot. And then I'm getting to the finish line because I want to cheer them into the finish line. And here they come, and here comes Mia, and she is neck and neck with this other girl. And she is running hard, and it became very clear very quickly that they were going to do an all-out sprint to the finish line, which is really hard to do, but when you are competitive, which Mia is, and when this girl who she was running against is competitive, which she was, it gets really interesting. And so they sprint out to the finish line, and they cross the finish line, and I go down to talk to Mia and to congratulate her on running a great race, and she turns toward me, and I can just see that look in her eyes. And literally, I thought she was going to walk right past me, which is not characteristic of her. And then I very quickly kind of saw the anger that had built up within her. And it was like she looked like she was ready to blow her top. And that is not characteristic of Mia either, at least not like in my interactions with her. And so I suddenly was like, okay, we've got a situation on our hands, right? And so I placed my hand on her shoulder, I turned her around and said, let's go for a walk. To which on that walk, I found out from her that what I had witnessed, the elbows, that went on the entire race. Now, just so you know, in cross country, it's actually, you can be disqualified for that. And so this anger had kind of built up in her, and so we kind of walked it off, and we talked about it, and talked about some different things and everything. And really, within a few minutes, after I went and spoke to her, the other girl's coach politely, and within a few minutes, it was kind of forgotten, and it was like life goes on. But I tell you that story to say this, is that isn't it true that that's sometimes how we face things in life, where this anger kind of has built up, or this animosity towards individuals, these things, they kind of build up and it comes to like this breaking point. I mean, let me share a few other examples, see if you can relate to this. And if not, well, then I guess I'm here alone. Yeah, but what about that situation where those of you that drive, you're driving down the road and all of a sudden a car like cuts you off? Or they pull out right in front of you. And you look in your rear view and you're like, there is no traffic behind me. Why in the world couldn't they wait? Can anybody relate here? Or is this just me, right? You're like, argh! Right? This fury is like really quickly developed in you. Or how about this? How many of you like extreme amusement park rides? Anybody here like those? Okay, yeah, I love them. Our family had season passes for Hershey Park a couple different years and everything. Isn't it crazy, though? Like, you wait in line for like an hour and a half for a one-minute ride. Like, this is illogical, but we do it, right? So let me ask you, have you been there? You're waiting in line. It's 95 degrees out. It's hot. You know, people are getting irritable, and you're getting really close to getting on the ride, and, you know, your patience is kind of shot, and all of a sudden, the people in front of you are like, hey, yeah, right here, and somebody comes and they just jump in line in front of you. Like, they just got off another ride, and they just jump in line. Does that, like, it gets you, right? Like, it raises this emotion in you. Or, you know, there's lots of other examples. You're driving down the road and two lanes go into one and you do your, you know, it says right lane closed. So you move into the left lane and you're just about there. And then, boom, here comes someone zooming up the side. Any of you ever have that happen or any of you do that? I want to know who you are. Right? These are the things that we face in our lives. Students, maybe you have studied so hard for a test. And, like, you feel pretty good, you know your stuff, and you're looking at your friend, or maybe not your friend, and you know they didn't study. You know what they were doing last night. And so they're sitting there, and they're looking at their neighbor, and they're just copying down. They're cheating. Like, does that irritate you? Like, it just wells up this emotion of anger inside of you. Or maybe it's that you see someone being mistreated. Or how about this one? You meet someone for the first time. And you think, man, I really like this person. And all of a sudden, you find out what their political views are. All right, am I going to a sensitive topic here? Like, this is something that we have seen a lot in the last few years. And suddenly, like, there's this emotion it doesn't matter how much you like the person. This emotion is set off inside of you. I could go on and on and on to talk about all of these different emotions that are stirred up within us. And one of those emotions is anger. Now, a lot of the examples that I gave you, like jumping in line in amusement park, getting cut off, like probably most of those are fairly trivial, right? You like shrug them off. They get you for a little bit, and then it's like, okay, you move on in life. But the truth is that there's other times in our lives where they are not so trivial. They deal with more deeper hurts or deeper wounds that you are carrying. And so this anger is something that oftentimes we can carry around with us. And sometimes because we carry anger around with us in our lives, that even the trivial things are the things that can set us off. And like we respond in ways that we're like, whoa, where did that come from? I don't know where that came from. And so what I want to look at today is Ephesians 4. Because this verse, I know that many of you are probably familiar with this verse, but this verse is so directive and helpful in leading us in our lives, as God's word always is, at how do we diffuse the anger within us. Because here's the truth. One of the things I loved about what I heard here this morning is that relationships are really important to you. And man, that is so important. That is so good. In fact, keep doing that as a church. Keep developing relationships with one another. And I don't mean the kind of relationships where you just simply talk about, like, that crazy football game last night. Like, how in the world did that happen, okay? It's fine to talk about those things. That's great. But I'm talking about relationships where you're, like, doing life together. You are sharing the deep things from within you. And you're uplifting each other and encouraging each other. But here's the thing, is that anger will destroy relationships. It'll tear down relationships. And some of you, you've had that happen. And some of you, perhaps, maybe you've ruined relationships because of that. And so God gives us this directive here in Ephesians 4 as he speaks through Paul. And look at Ephesians 4, verses 26 and 27. And this is basically where we're going to be this morning. We're going to look at this verse and talk about how is this practical? How does this apply in our lives? So Ephesians 4, 26, 27, you can follow with me on the screen. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Now, here's the first thing that I want us to see and I want us to recognize in this passage. And that is this, is that the feeling, or you could say the emotion of anger is not wrong. Right? What does Paul write here? What does God's word say? In your anger, do not sin. You see, we experience emotions in our lives. And what we're going to talk about in a little bit is it's like, what do we do with that? How do we handle that? But in your anger, do not sin. The feeling of anger is not wrong. Some examples. When I see what is happening in places like Ukraine, there's this emotion, there's this anger that wells up within me. When I looked at the news yesterday and saw that they just shelled a bunch of apartment buildings like innocent people, there is something that stirs within me. And I know a lot of you can relate to that. Or maybe the war in Ukraine, maybe that seems too far away, but maybe it's when like you see individuals have like a complete disregard for human life. And there's this something that stirs up within you. Or maybe it's when you see the stats of the number of children that are enslaved or trafficked each year. January is the awareness month for that. And man, when you hear that, it just stirs up this anger in you. Those are the kinds of emotions that we have to realize, like, that's not wrong. It's not wrong to be stirred. In fact, what we oftentimes call it as Christians is we call it righteous anger. Right? It's this righteous anger, the fact that like we realize that there's like these injustices in the world. And if you're here today and you're not a Christian, maybe you're still trying to figure it out, you're not sure if you're a Jesus follower, you can still relate to this, right? You can still relate to these things, like when you see somebody mistreated, this emotion wells up within you. Or when you hear stories of a drunk driver being killed by an innocent person being killed by a drunk driver. Our cross-country team went down to Texas back in September. Some of you may have heard of that. Amazing privilege to go and run in Texas at an invitational. And when we got down there, we found out that the school district that we were that had invited us to come down had actually just gone through a horrific tragedy. You can put that next slide up there. So Nelson is the last name of a student, and what happened was there was a group of students and a mom that were leaving the high school. This was mid-afternoon, after school, sporting events were happening, sporting practices were taking place. They pulled out, and a drunk driver going about 70 miles an hour just slammed into that car. The boy, whose last name is Nelson, was killed instantly. All of the others were in the hospital at the time. We since learned after we came back that one of the other students passed away as well. This drunk driver had been released from prison not more than 24 hours before that. When we hear things like that, there's this emotion, this anger that is stirred up within us. The feeling of anger is not wrong. We often look at Jesus. You know this clearing of the temple passage? Let's look at it real quickly, and we're not going to spend a lot of time here. But look at Jesus when he enters into the temple courts in verse 12 of Matthew 21. Jesus entered the temple courts, and he drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. Now, I'm not going to give a lot of context here, but what you need to know here is that they were abusing the temple, right? They were abusing the house of God. And that's where this is coming from. And here's how Jesus responds. He says, "It is written, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." Did he say it like that? Absolutely not. No. I think there was some like volume in his voice, and he says, "It is written, my house will be called a house of prayer." Right? He was indignant about this. There was this righteous anger that was stirred up within him. And so anger, the emotion of anger, the feeling of anger is not wrong, but here's the thing we need to understand, because we're not off the hook. Mismanaged anger is dangerous and destructive. It's dangerous and destructive. Have you ever been around somebody that like they just seem to be angry all the time? Right? They're like a ticking time bomb. you're almost afraid to be around them. You're almost afraid to say anything because it just might set them off. And you might be sitting here today and you might be like, yeah, that might be me. And so hang in there. We're going to talk about what are some steps that we can take. Mismanaged anger is dangerous and destructive. You know, the news is filled with all kinds of examples of people not managing their anger. I just went to the news, and here's an example right here. January 12, 2023, so 3 days ago, in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, the city of the Philadelphia Eagles, there's a picture. Let me read just really briefly this brief news report. Police are investigating a case of road rage that began Thursday morning in Delaware County and ended in southwest Philadelphia. CBS Philadelphia was told that the wild scene all started in Glendon around 11 a.m. Police say a black SUV and a blue truck were involved. The driver of the BMW hit a blue pickup and didn't stop. That led to a chase into the city when the BMW lost control. Yeah, you think? And hit the 12th Police District headquarters at 65th Street and Woodland Avenue. The lieutenant on the scene says that it's through the grace of God that no one walking on the sidewalk was hurt. It sounded like an explosion, Ali Yamu, a neighbor, said. He watched the chaos play out right in front of his home in southwest Philadelphia. Police say the BMW then backed up, raced down 65th Street, flipped and landed on the sidewalk as the driver tried making a turn. The car was speeding and flipped, Yami said. It caught fire and the guys got out. Listen to this. The guys got out and started fighting each other. His car just flipped over and blew up and he gets out and starts fighting the guy. Do you think that that might be the result of some mismanaged anger? Now, I hope that if any of you have mismanaged anger or you have some anger built up within you, I hope that it doesn't turn to that. But isn't it true? And it kind of illustrates that, yes, if we're not careful, the feeling of anger isn't wrong, but surely we can mess things up really fast when we mismanage that emotion because it can be dangerous and destructive. Verse 27 of this passage is so key to where we're going to go for the remainder of our time. Look at verse 27 with me. It says what? Do not give the devil a foothold. You see, here's the truth. Is that when we mismanage anger in our lives, the emotion isn't wrong. We feel that, right? But when we mismanage it and it builds up and it comes out in all kinds of ways, we are giving the devil a foothold in our lives. And so Paul is very clear here that, like, hey, and I think he's passionate about this for our own lives and our own relationships. And he's also passionate about this for us in the church as we learn to, you know, get along with individuals that are sitting next to us who are different. And get along with other individuals here in the community that are different, that it is so important that we don't allow things like mismanaged anger to give Satan a foothold in our lives. Why? Because it will destroy. And so we've got to deal with it. If we are dealing with these emotions, this emotion of anger, we've got to deal with it in our lives. And that's what I want us to talk about for these next remaining few minutes, is how do we diffuse and manage the anger in our lives. And I think it's really clear and really simple, maybe not as simple to apply, but it's really simple here in this passage in Ephesians. And the first step that I want to talk about this morning in diffusing and managing our anger is reflection. All right, reflection. Here's what he writes. He says, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. There's actually a passage in Psalms that is very similar to this. And I wonder if when he wrote this, he didn't have this in mind. Look at Psalm chapter 4, verse 4. The psalmist writes this, tremble and do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Tremble, if you go back to the original language, tremble there can also be translated as be angry. So be angry, or in your anger, do not sin. Does that sound familiar? When you're on your bed, search your hearts and be silent. I don't know if you know this. I'm pretty sure you do. But no matter where you are in the world, the sun sets every 24 hours. Now, you may not see the sun, right? But it does. Every day, there is this rhythm built into our lives of a 24-hour period. And I want to tell you that this is a beautiful time. This is a beautiful opportunity every day to do some reflection in our lives, to search our hearts, and to maybe take inventory of the day of this emotion that we call anger. This is the reflection aspect. So you might ask yourself, and if you're one of those people that, like, when you get into bed, you're like, you're out, then you might want to do this before you get into bed. But you might want to ask yourself some questions each and every day, like as you kind of take inventory, as you reflect on the day that was before you. So maybe you would just do something like this when it comes to anger. And you can do this with other things as well, but when it comes to anger, which is what we're talking about today, you might just say, you know, what is it that made me angry today? Who made me angry? Why does that make me angry? Where's this coming from? And what do I need to do? I want you to imagine that if you did this every single day, reflecting and identifying your level of anger and taking action based on what you need to do to diffuse that, it would change, I think, a lot of things in our interactions with others, particularly in this area of anger. And the reason I think that it would change things is this, is because I believe that God's word, it works, right? This is the direction that he is giving us here. And so we need to take time to be silent and to allow the Bible to speak truth, to be silent and to allow the Spirit of God to speak into our lives and to help us navigate these kinds of things. So a couple examples of maybe what you would come up with at the end of a day as you reflect on your day. Maybe it was that you were with a friend and they said something that was really hurtful. And so you think about that. And you realize, like, why that was hurtful. Or, you know, maybe there's something even more going on. Maybe it's been a continual thing. Or a driver that cut you off. For me, you know, think about it. If a driver cuts me off and I managed not to hit them, okay, why am I going to get so angry about that? Why? Chances are that if something like that makes me that angry, there's probably some other things going on in my life that I need to take inventory of and that I need to reflect on. Because the truth is, especially if it's like, you know, you're still stewing about it like 30 minutes later. It's one thing in the moment, right? I'm a reactionary kind of guy, right? It's one thing in that moment. But like if you're still stewing about it like 30 minutes later, or if you're stewing about it when you take time to reflect at the end of the day, there might be something more going on that you need to deal with. Maybe it's something that your spouse is doing. And this comes to mind. And so you have to say, okay, what am I going to do with this? What am I going to do about this? Any newlyweds in here? Like under, you know, a year or two? Like, yeah. So when you get married, you discover things about your spouse that you had no idea. And Katie's like, oh, man, I know this is coming. No, I mean, this is, like, so trivial that I just laugh about it and we joke about it. But one of the things I discovered that she does is the toothpaste, right? The cap goes on the toothpaste, right? I mean, anybody agree? Like, when you're done with the toothpaste, you put the cap on. Well, she didn't think so, right? Never has the cap on. I go to the sink, there's the toothpaste, there's the cap over here somewhere, or maybe it's gone, I don't know. It's so stupid, it's such a trivial thing. But like at the end of the day, if I'm laying in bed and I'm reflecting and something like that is bothering me that much, then A, I need to do something, right? And it's probably not yelling at her to put the cap on. But B, I better examine in a little deeper and say, is there something else going on in my life? And so we go through these things. Students, for you, it might be a teacher. Man, that teacher just rubs you the wrong way. I've heard kids say, I hate that teacher. I'm like, you know, that's a strong thing to say. Like, what's going on? Oh, they just make me so angry. Well, why? Why do they make you so angry? Well, they failed me on the test. Oh, well, did you study? Well, no, but hello? Right? Or administration at your school or all these kinds of things. These are the things that God might bring to your mind. And the truth is that we have to take time in our lives to reflect and to think about these things. And then we have to move to the next step. And that's to resolve. Right? We can't simply reflect, right, daily, maybe on a daily basis, before the sun goes down, like reflect on these things, but we need to resolve them. And let me just tell you that resolving takes boldness and bravery often. It really does. It's not always the easiest. And the resolution might look different in every single situation. For some, if it has to do with something that somebody's doing, and maybe they're doing it on a continual basis, maybe the resolution is that you need to go and you need to have a conversation with them. And I don't mean a fighting conversation. I don't mean with words of anger, but you just need to have a conversation with them and tell them how that makes you feel. Or maybe it's something that you just need to overlook. Like, when you come down to thinking of it, it's like, man, I just need to let this go. Right? There's a passage in Scripture that says what? Love covers over a multitude of sin. None of us are perfect. And so sometimes people do things and they're not even intentional and they like can set us off. And it's like, you just need to let it go. Or maybe it's that you need to give someone the benefit of the doubt. Man, I have seen time and time again, especially when we went through the pandemic and everything, that we make people into villains. Like, they are so, how could they think that? I can't believe that they think that you have to wear a mask, or I can't believe they think that you should never wear a mask, or whatever. And we make them into a villain rather than listening to their story and interacting with them and having a dialogue with them. So every resolving or resolution might look a little different. Quite frankly, sometimes I think that it requires like a complete surrender to God and say, God, I just need help here. God, I need your spirit to help me in this situation know how to deal with this. I need your help to be able to let this thing go. I need your help to be able to go and dialogue with this person. God, there's this anger that's like welled up within me because of all these things from the past. God, I need you. In the beginning, I shared about Mia, and like I said, we went and we walked it off, and I spoke to the coach about it, which he had already spoken to his athletes because he had seen it as well. She did it right in front of her coach. Right? He had already spoken to her, and I continued to have a dialogue with Mia about resolution, and we acknowledged the fact that Mia is very competitive, and we acknowledged the fact that this young lady that she was running against is also very competitive, and so they have a lot of similarities. We also acknowledged the fact that as Mia, as a freshman, and as that girl was also a freshman, that they were going to see each other again. Like, they were going to run against each other again. And so we kind of talked through this, and it came to the point where it was like, yeah, we're just going to let it go. Just going to let it go. Resolution. We need to be able to resolve these things, because if we don't, that's when they can quickly become mismanaged. So we need to reflect, we need to resolve, and then here's the last one, and they do all begin with R. I don't always do that, but it's release. All right, it's release. Let it go. Stop holding on. I think sometimes we almost make anger, like we can almost make it like a part of our identity. Or we like almost like keep it around like it's this like comfortable blanket that we want to keep with us. We need to let it go. And some of the things that cause that in our lives, just let it go. Let it go. We have to release it. Why? Well, because it's not the identity. that Jesus wants us to have. As part of God's family, and if you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus, as part of God's family, this community that we call, like, you know, doing life together, He doesn't want us walking around like the tipping point of boiling over at any time. He doesn't want us to lash out at people and to, you know, show hate toward people or whatever that comes out as, mismanaged anger. We need to be able to let it go. And so the question is how in the world do we do that? And this is where I want to move just a few verses later in Ephesians 4. Because I think verses 31 and 32 tie in so much with how do we let go of this anger. And here's what we read in Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Now, we could do a whole nother message on this passage. We won't do that this morning. But I do want to encourage you to reflect a little bit further on these verses. And I'll just point out a little bit here is what we see. And what we see is this, is that we see get rid of. I like rid. That's like a word that I'm from Lancaster County. That's a word that we would use in Lancaster County, rid. All right, get rid of. And notice that it says get rid of what? All. Right? That is a really key word here. In other words, don't hold on to any of these things. So what do we get rid of? Bitterness, rage, anger. See, Paul is coming right back to this anger that he's talking about in the previous verses. Brawling, slander, malice. Sounds like a whole bunch of different ways to talk about what? To talk about anger. He says, get rid of all of that. And then here's the beautiful part. Because I don't know about you, but in my walk with learning how to follow Jesus, I've learned that it's not simply about getting rid of stuff in my life, but it's what am I going to put on? You see, what am I going to seek after? What am I going to pursue in my life? And so we have it right here. Get rid of those things and then do what? Be kind, compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, kindness, compassion, forgiveness. Put that on. Get rid of those things and put this on. And then the most beautiful part of this whole passage is that we are given an example to follow. And that's why we call ourselves Jesus followers. Because here's what it says. Just as in Christ, God forgave you. See, every one of us, we stand here today as forgiven individuals. And that's the example that we are called to in our lives. And so we get rid of all those things. We trade it for kindness and compassion and forgiveness, just as Christ forgave us. You see, Jesus is our example. And we have a whole bunch in Scripture that helps lead us and helps us to know what does it look like to follow Jesus. I want to invite you to close your heads, bow your eyes, and I'm going to actually give you a little bit of space right here this morning to do exactly what we talked about. I'm going to just kind of walk you through this. And so the first thing that I want to invite you to do is your eyes are closed and as you're just kind of there in your seat, I want to invite you to do that first step. I want you to reflect. I'm going to give a moment of silence here in just a moment, but here's what I want you to reflect on. I want you to think particularly in this area of anger, and I want you to ask yourself some of those questions like, hey, is there anything going on in my life right now that's causing me to be angry? Is there anybody that's said something? All of those kind of inventory kinds of questions. Let's take a moment to just simply reflect and allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak to you and to identify areas in your life. Now, some of you, as you did this reflection, there may not be anything that came to mind, and that's great. And so what I would encourage you to do is kind of put this in your toolbox, because there's going to be a time. And I would say there's a time each and every day to do this. And there's going to be times where things maybe come to your mind, the Holy Spirit directs you and leads you. Some of you, you have been directed, and there's some areas in your life that have been identified, and so you need to move to this next step of resolve. And although you may not be able to resolve it right now here in your seat, I want you to think about what are the steps that I need to take to resolve this situation, because I don't want it to build up to this anger that's mismanaged. So what are those steps that when you leave here today that you need to take them? And maybe you even want to think about somebody that you're going to talk to that's going to hold you accountable to following through with those steps. So just take a moment, think about what is the resolve, what is the resolution? And then the third area is the release. Now, for some of you, you may not be able to fully release until you go and have that conversation. But for some of you, it might be just something that you don't even have to have a conversation. You just need to let it go right now. And so I want to encourage you to go before our loving Heavenly Father and to just talk to Him and to give it to Him and to release that from your life. And I want to encourage you that, you know, we're in the context of community. And so maybe there's somebody that, as we dismiss here today, that you just want to grab and you want to pull them aside and say, hey, I need some help in this. Would you pray with me as I pray through just releasing this before God? But don't leave here today without expressing that before our Heavenly Father. And so, Lord God, we come before You today, and we are so thankful that Your Word is practical. We're so thankful that You have given us each other to be unified in You, whether it's individuals here in this church as well as individuals here in our community. Lord God, would You forgive us for the times that we allow anger to come out in mismanaged ways, to the point where it can destroy relationships and destroy unity among each other. Lord, would You help us each and every day to be able to reflect and to resolve and to move forward and to let those things go, to release it to You. Lord God, we acknowledge that this is really easy to talk about, maybe, but sometimes it's hard to actually practically live out in the daily emotions of life. And so we express to You our need for You today to empower us, to embolden us, to help us live this out in our lives. Holy Spirit, we thank You that You walk with us, and we pray these things in Your name. Amen.